Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Chulin Daf Yudches. We begin four lines off the top. So this pretty much picks up from where we left off yesterday. Actually, in the middle of yesterday's daf, we discussed this point about showing, right? There is a requirement to show, not just to inspect the knife prior to shechita, to show it to the Rav, to the Chacham in town. This was established, this practice was established by the Chachamim in order to uphold and to solidify, to cement the standing of the Rav. So every butcher is meant to do that before he begins his day's work. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, let's say the tabach, the butcher, the sheikh did not present his knife to the chacham prior to shechita. Hay tabcha, this sheikh, deloy sara sakina, who didn't show, who didn't present his knife, kamei chacham to the chacham, misham tineloy. We put him in Chirim. Rashi says it's based on a Gemara in Brachos that you test. We do that. In severe instances where there's an act of disgrace against the Rav. Menadan al kovid harav, and likewise this fellow who ignored the Rav's position, the Rav's role in this matter, deserves to be excommunicated. So according to Rav Huna, the penalty is cherem nidui. V'Rav Amar, we take it a step further. Mavrinuli, we depose him, fire him from the job. U'machruzin and abisrei treifi, we announce, we declare that his basar, anything that he shechts, is non-kosher. It's treifa. Says the Gemara, there really is no machlokes between these two opinions. They're talking about different cases. Ulei pligi. Kan. B'shenimtzei sakina yofe. Rav Huna, who limits his penalty to merely nidui, is speaking where the knife was discovered to be intact. It's just that he acted disrespectfully to the Rav. He deserves that penalty. But his basar is kosher. Kan bishaloinim says sakina yafa. Rav, however, speaking where turns out not only didn't he act responsibly in terms of going to the Rav out of respect, out of covet, he was reckless in terms of using a disqualified knife, a knife that's possible. And therefore we announce, going forward, anything that he shechts is considered treif. Ravina takes it up a step further. He says, if it turns out his knife was blemished, we take it even further. Ravina Amar Echad Lo Nimsa Sakina Yofa, if his knife turns out to be possible, not only shouldn't we eat his basar, he can't even sell it to a guy. Mimasmasle, we dirty it pirita with animal waste. Dafilu loyvid gechavim namilim is daven, meaning to say that he can't even sell it to a guy. There was a story, Otavcha, a fellow who did not show his knife to the chacham, the loysar sakino, he didn't bring his knife, he didn't show it to the kamei de rava barachinina, who was the Rav in town, Rav Achinana. And Shamte, so he put him into Chayim. Ve'abri, and he removed him from his post. So he came down very harsh on him. And furthermore, Ve'achru Zabisri the Trefi. And he announced, he declared, that all the basar that he shechted is treifa. So he went with the full brunt of the law. Cherem, fired him, and all the basar that he shechted, Moshecht is treifa. In accordance with the very severe approach we had earlier. And this is even where they found the knife to be okay. So he took it even a step further. He says, you have to go all out. Now it turns out that Iklihu, to his good fortune, there were some visitors in town. Who came to town? Mar Zutra and Rav Ashil Gabei. They came to visit the Rav, Rav Bar Chanina. When they came in, Amar Lu, so the Rav tells them, look, you know the story with the butcher, La'ainu Rabba B'milsei. Please, if you can, you know, look into this story, look well, investigate this matter, B'milsei, and this matter of this person. Let's see if there's any way we can reinstate him. The Tolu Bei Tafle, because he has Tafle, little youngsters, little kids that are dependent upon him for sustenance. And now he has no income. Okay, so Rav Ashi got to work. Batka Rav Ashi, the sakinis. The first thing, Rav Ashi checked the knife. Checked his knife and discovered it to be okay. But him says, Yah, Rav Ashi. So he reinstated him. Because, according to Rav Ashi, the halacha that we say that you know that he can't do what we said that he can't shecht anymore. That's only when it turns out that his knife was chipped. But in this case, so he turned to Rav Ashi Marlo Saba. You're not concerned about the honor of the elder of Rav Bar Chanina, was the Rav of the city. I mean, he fired him, and you're going to go reinstate him? Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi says quite the contrary. He asked me to try to, you know, figure out a route to get him back in the shlichusay, his bidding, kavdina we're doing. So there's no reason to go back and consult with him. It's not disrespectful. It's the opposite. He asked us. He wants me to try to resolve it, and I did. Amar Rabba Bar Chanina, Shein Talusha. There's one. There's a cheek of an animal with a tooth. Can I use it for shechita? V'tzipur and telusha, or a nail, fingernail that's off the it's been torn up and shorn up and cut off and it's nice and sharp. Muta lushchet b'lachatchil. You can do shechita, no problem. Really, in the Mishnah we seem to say that you can't use these materials in lieu of a knife. But on tonight we have a Mishnah, Chutz Magal Kotzer, you can't use a sickle, a Megero, or a Sova, Shinaim, teeth, a Tzipur, fingernails. They choke, they tear the Simon, rather than properly cutting it. And here you're allowing use of teeth, of nails. Shein Hashem Lekasha, the answer regarding the teeth is as follows, Habachad, Habatarte, depends if it's just one alone, then you can do it. Just go back and forth enough time. Habitarati, the Mishnah, we're talking that it's two together. It's a series of teeth. And since they're not one singular continuum, right? It's like a saw with ditches in the middle. So then it's not kasher. So you put it on like kasher regarding the contradiction concerning the nails. How about Lusha? When we allow a nail to be used, that's when it's detached. Hamuchuberas. The Mishnah speaking that it's still attached. And if it's attached, well, Rebbe told us that you can't use. Back in the Tezvav, you can't use something which is still attached. Says the Mishnah, Sheikha v'magal kasr. B'dara chalichas. So this is a sickle whose teeth are leaning in one direction. Very, very slanted in one direction. So technically, if you go the other way, you gloss over the bumps and it should be a proper shechita. So you do it going forward, in which case you're not really encountering the pointy side of the bumps, of the teeth. V'shamay poislan? No, they say it's not a good shechita. We'll see why. U'basil machshirin? They say it's okay. So if he goes against the teeth, against the grain, of course it's a problem. It tears, it rips. If you go over the backs of these slants, you haven't really encountered the sharp edges. Now let's say he went and removed the teeth. He trimmed the teeth off. Now you have just a plain single blade. Then fine, harehi kasak, and then it's fine. It's like a knife. We're not concerned that perhaps we'll go and use a regular sickle. No, it's okay. Now, according to Beis Hillel, if you did it the right way, it's okay. B'shamaya paislin, Beis Hillel machshir. Now, to what extent are Beis Hillel allowing this? You can actually consider it kosher food and eat it? Or do we say, well, it's just not a dead animal, you did shechita, but you still shouldn't eat it because you might not do it properly. Even though Beis Hillel say that it's kosher, that doesn't mean you can eat it, because you might inadvertently slide the sickle the wrong way. They only consider it a non-nevela. It's not going to have tumma like a dead animal. It's considered like it was shechted. Aval ba'achilu asura, you can't eat it. Amar Rashi, deikanami. I'll even prove it to you from the wording of the Mishnah. The choice of words in the Mishnah indicate as such. It's only a matter of avoiding the nevela status, but not to actually eat it. The Tani, the Mishnah says, "Beshamay poislin, u'besil machshirin." Right? Why do we speak about psul and kashrus? Just say it's forbidden, it's permitted. If in fact you can eat it, look, Tani, it doesn't say beshamay oisrin, they prohibit, u'besil armatirin, they allow. Apparently, nobody allows actual consumption. Just a matter of salvaging it from tumah. But tamech, according to what you're asking, it's just about whether it's tumah or not. So why doesn't the Mishnah directly reference tumah and tahara? Listening should say b'shamay amr tamin, because it's like an avela. B'shila matar, and they consider it not tar. Ella, so you have to say that you can't really dwell on the semantics, because poislin or machshirin, right? These two contrast, poislin and machshir, and the other set of v'oisrin and matirin. Chadam will say it's really one and the same thing. They're close enough, they mean the same thing. So, even though the Mishnah chose pasul and kosher, it's just another way of saying asur and mutar, and of course, according to Beis Hillel, you can eat it as well. Continues the Mishnah. Hashoichem etechat habas. So now we're going to proceed to describe the precise location in the kana. The kana is the trachea, the windpipe. Where do we do the cut? Where is the shechita meant to take place? So we're meant to know that the kana is comprised of several layers and several sections, several zones of material. The inner layer, which we'll call the kana itself, is a fleshy, skin sort of membrane, which is a full circle, full pipe of soft, fleshy material, which is surrounded with a protective cartilage, which the Mishnah and the Gemara call tabas, tabois, rings. They ring around the kana. Now, there are two types of rings. So we'll picture the kana from lower to higher, working our way up towards the throat of the animal. The lower area has smaller tabois, and they don't come full circle around the kana. They form a circle, but not a complete circle. They're then connected by this fleshy material, the inner layer of the fleshy kana material. So the actual cartilage doesn't come full circle. It's mostly around, but it doesn't really actually connect as a full circle. Then we move up to the kana, to the tabas hagdoila, the big ring on top, closer to the throat. That one does come full circle. It forms a full and complete ring. Beyond that, we'll call it zone 3. So zone 1 are the smaller rings, which don't come full circle. Zone 2 is the larger ring, which comes around full circle. Zone 3 is above that, which the Gemara calls the kaiva, like a helmet, like a hat, which is wide. Then it narrows called Shipua Kaiva, where it narrows, it comes to like a point. And that forms the opening, the upper opening at the throat, the opening of the trachea. That's too far to do Shechita. But where do we do Shechita? Is it only in the lower section? What about the Tabas HaGdoyla? What about in the helmet itself? In the wide section, the lower part of that helmet, the wide section. Okay, let's take it one at a time. It says the Mishnah, Shechem Techa Tabas. In this Mishnah, we imply that the Shechita is meant to be the Tabas, HaTabas, the big one. Okay, so if it's in the big one, you're okay. But let's say he veers out. He starts in the Tabas, but then he cuts and he veers above, outside that range, into zone 3. Again, zone 1 being the small tabois, zone 2 the big tabas, zone 3 is the helmet area. So the Mishnah implies that it's no good to actually do the shechita above the tabas. We'll see in the Gemara there's an opposing view, which is exactly how we paskin actually. But in this Mishnah we learned that the shechita can't be above zone 2. So let's say it starts within zone 2, within the tabas, the big one, and then sort of veers his knife upwards. As long as he leaves a hair's breadth, a drop of the tabas material uncut. So he cuts through the whole thing, of course, yeah, but in terms of veering out, he hasn't veered out. He veered and veered and veered, but still stayed just within the tabas. So after the cut, he takes a look and he sees there's a drop, malayachut, apnei kula, all around, a full circle of tabas hagdoyla material, which still was uncut, meaning he didn't go above any of the tabas, he stayed within it completely. Okay, saves the day, it's okay. It's a perfectly kosher shechit. But if he veers out even a drop, according to Rabbanan, we don't say, well, the most is okay, you know, as long as it was mostly, it's not enough, it has to be completely within the tabas hagdoyla. And Rashi says it's Alocha Meshe Mesina, that's called Hagrama. Right, we spoke about Hagrama, here it is. Hagrama means veering out. You have to stay within zone 2. You go above it, even a drop, it's possible. However, Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Daimir says no. Why not apply the same concept of Roiv as we do anywhere? Apply it here. Mulay Chut al Pnei Ruba, as long as there's a Chut, a drop of that Tabas, most of the way around, so he's 51% inside the Tabas HaGdoyla, even if he veers out starting 52, that's good, because it was mostly in the right place. In fact, Rav Shmuel, they both paskin like this Shita, Damar Tabai, they both told us, Halacha Karis Ruda, that as long as the majority was within the Tabas HaGdoyla, you're okay. Number one. Number two, what about Zone 1, the small tabois, which, as we explained, don't really come full circle. Can you shech through them? Va'afar b'yisri ridu l'yama, even he only allowed Ela b'tabas ha'gdoyla. If you cut through the large one, Zone 2, why? Because since that ring comes around full circle, it qualifies as kana. It's considered pipe material. Considered kana. And therefore, cutting through it is called a proper shechita. Ha'ilu ma'kefes es kala kana, since it surrounds, it encircles the entire kana. Aval b'shar tabois loy. But if he should do shechita, if he should drop down into zone 1, and if you would cut, we're not talking about veering now, just plain, clean cut into the small tabois, that's no good. Why? Because those tabois, those rings don't qualify as kana. They're just a protective shield, because they don't come full circle. They're not really considered kana material. Kana means a pipe, a full circular pipe. They're not. So if you want to do shechita in zone 1, you have to make sure that you cut between the rings. So you slice the straight into the soft material beneath the rings, which of course qualifies as kana, it's full circle, it's a full pipe. Interesting. So if you cut on the ring itself, it's possible, but between the rings, directly into the flesh, which is the real kana, that's okay. Now the Gemara is going to take issue with the second halacha. Really? Well, you can't do shechita on the other rings in zone one, Batanya. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda himself, I mean, he tells us, ha-sheichet, between time and base, ha-sheichet b'shar taboyz, one does shechita on the other rings in zone one, ha-mu b'shein makifah is eskal ha-kana, even though they don't come full circle around the kana, ha-yol makifah is esroi v'kana, since they come around most of the way, again, we apply the concept of roiv. They are considered kanash, tasik shera. Okay, we'll get back to this in a moment. Now the Braisa continues. Umugremes psula. We're meant to know that this is the shitas rabbanon. Rashi explains. We're going back to the rabbanon now. That even if you should veer out a little bit, it's possible. So again, we're back up to zone two, the big tabas, big ring. You got to be completely in there. If you veer out even a drop, it's possible. We disregard the fact that it was mostly in the right place. It has to be completely in the right location. However, hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignois, he testified. This is going to make a big wave. We're going to see later. This is a different shita now, who allows even in zone 3 in the helmet area. He testified, Almogremes Shikshira. That even if you're completely out of the big circle, big ring, even if you're in zone 3, you're good. And although we have the halacha of hagrama, says Rashi, what does that mean? Hagrama is pasul, according to him, it's always kosher. There's no way you can do harm. No, you could. If you go beyond that area, you go beyond zone 3, you go where the helmet narrows, that's throat, that's not considered kosher. So he's even adding a third zone. Okay, so again, let's just clarify. We're talking about three different areas. Let's work our way from bottom to top, upwards, towards the throat. So we have the small ring area, which according to Rabbi Shmuel, you can only cut if you get between the rings, not on the rings themselves. We have the next section, the large ring, zone two. You cut through that ring, you're okay. What if you veer out a drop? Rabbanon say pasul, Rabbi Yisrael says kasher. What about zone 3 and the helmet area? And the wide part of that helmet area, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignois, it's okay. So we have left with the kasher now, because how could Rabbi Shmuel present that according to Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, zone 1 on bottom, the small rings, don't qualify? We're in this braisa, he clearly says even the tabois, shar tabois is okay at zone 1. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef comes and explains for us that you're right, Rabbi Shmuel will not presenting Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda's shita in this regard. It was their own opinion. He allows it, they don't. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Tartik Amar, he was really telling us two separate halachas. One is regarding zone 2. If you veer out a little bit, it's okay as long as you're mostly in there. And one regarding zone 1, the small taboyes, where you're okay regardless. Rabbi Shmuel, however, only adopted one opinion, one halacha, and disputed the other one. Rabbi Shmuel, Sabrik Abasei Bechada, on the one hand, regarding the question of zone 2, the big taboyes, they adopted his opinion. Roiv is enough. Whereas regarding the other Allah, they disagreed with him. He held that you could shecht in zone 1, wherever. And they disagreed. But if you look back at the wording that they used, they're clearly referring to him. If, after they present the first Allah regarding zone 2, they say, oh, even he only allowed in zone 2. Not, they're clearly relating to him, not their personal opinion. Kamri. No, let's modify. Let's re-explain what they mean. They didn't mean to present his shita. Hachi Kamri, they meant to say that it's halacha kamoisai. We adopt as you regarding zone 2 question, the rave question, But not regarding the other question. Regarding the zone one question, we disagree with him. We don't pass like that. We have a story about Rabbi Zera, who, as we know, moved up to Eretz Yisrael. Kisolok Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera came up from Babel and relocated to Eretz Yisrael, Ochal, he ate meat, Mugremes, that was shechted in a manner which is called Hagrama, to Rabbi Shmuel. Which means to say that there was a shechita in zone one on the rings, which according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's possible. And in Babel, they adhered to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. That's where they lived, that was their Malkim. So how did he consider this to be kosher? I'm related to the local people, turn to him and says, Lav Maastre, don't you come from the city of the Rabbi Shmuel? Don't you come from Rabbi Shmuel's place? How could you be lenient on this matter? Amar Lahus, he says, no, it's unreliable. Man Amra, who was the one who presented this whole halacha, the name of Rabbi Shmuel? Wasn't it Yosef Barchia, right? Rashi says, actually, Rabbi Yosef throughout the Shas is Yosef Barchia. It was him, right? It isn't necessarily, reliable. Yosef Barchia, Mikuli Alma Gomer. He learned from everybody. Meaning he collects the halachas that he hears from this person, from that person. It isn't necessarily reliable. And, 100% research, and yeah. So I disagree with that accuracy of the halacha, and I don't adhere to it. Now Shamar Rav Yosef Ikpid, Rav Yosef heard that he was being dismissed, and he wasn't very happy. Amar, he says, me? Whatever I say is 100% properly researched. He says, Ana. Nikuli Alma Gamira, you think I just collect information from people? My sources are 100% reliable, properly researched. Ano, Mirav Yehuda Gamira. I learned from Yehuda, who was very meticulous in terms of naming his sources, even with accuracy. And Ano, Mirav Yehuda Gamira, Afilu Sveiki de Gavri Goris. He would even cite, multiple, names of possible sources. If he wasn't sure who he heard it from, he would say this name and that name, just to, for accuracy. He quoted this halacha. He wasn't sure, was it from Rav or was it from Shmuel? Safek mishmei de Rav, safek mishmei de Shmuel. Regarding halacha of a bechor, you have a firstborn kosher animal. If it's blemished, you can just eat it. You don't have to bring it as a carbon. Who can determine? Usually you get a mumcha, an expert. You don't have a mumcha. Even Shleisha, three ordinary people, Matir and Sabachar, can confirm the status of a Bachar and determine that he has a mum and allow you to take it. But Malkim Sheinumcha, if you don't have an expert around. In any case, clearly, he took his sources very seriously. Even the names, Rav, maybe Rav and Mishmo. Okay, so that was the end of that episode. In any case, Rabbi Zera took a lenient approach to this whole question. Despite the fact that he originated from Babel, but since he was in Eretz Yisrael, where evidently they were not machmer on this, so he transitioned to the local custom. Ask the Gemara, how could you do that? Don't you have to maintain the laws of the place that you came from, and as well as the local place? Rav Zera Lesley, he doesn't hold that the halacha, the Mishnah, noisn all of a person transitions from one town to the next, where there is a difference of opinion. He has to maintain the practice of his old place of residence, as well as adapt to the local customs as well. Nois nolab chumri amalkam shiotz misham. We applied to him the stringencies of the location where he came from. Chumri amalkam, the stringencies of the local place. Halach l'sham, where he arrived, where he's present now. So Akrab Zera just sort of discard of the chumrah that went on that they practiced in Babel. Amar Abaye, yeah, that's only when you're going from one place to the other of equal stature. But if you're going from Babel to Yisrael, which is in a higher plane where the authorities are of a higher standing in terms of halacha, right? Rashi says they do ibur hachodesh, kiddush hachodesh, ibur hashana. Knasa's penalties are only meted out in Eretz Yisrael, not in Babel, so their standing of authority is higher. So if you're here, you don't have to hold on to the halachis practices of Babel. It's not considered, you know, disrespectful. You're adopting the higher the rulings of the higher authorities. I'm Rabbi Anibi, that's only true in Babel to Babel. If you're relocating from one province in Babel to the other, Umer Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Inami or Eretz Yisrael, you go down to Babel, so you have to keep the old Avon Babel Eretz Yisrael. But if you're traveling up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, which is considered an upgrade, Kiva Danan Kafina Luhu, since we in Babel are subservient to the authorities of Eretz Yisrael, to the Sanhedrinites, Avin Kavasayu, we can go by their customs. Rav Ashi Yomar, he says, look, Afilu Tema Mi Babel Eretz Yisrael. Even if this concept of maintaining your old practices would apply even when a person relocates there to Israel from Babel. Yeah, but that's only if he plans on returning home. So that's still considered your place of residence. You have to maintain those practices, those customs. Hani Mila, it's only true. Last year, you plan on going back. Reb Zera came here for good. Right? The whole story of Zera, he even fasted that he forget the Torah that he learned in Babel. He wanted to start fresh with clarity. So he was here for serious, for good. Reb Zera ain't dat lachzer hava. So certainly, he can transition to the local customs. Amar le Abaye l'Rav Yosef. So he turned to Rav Yosef. He says, how could you say that, you know, according to Rav Shmuel, a shechita that took place in zone 1, you know, the small tabois is possible. But Rabbanon, also Mechayza, the Rabbanon that come from the town of Mechayza, which is in Babel as well, Amri, they maintain Amr Rav Zera, Shmid Rav Nachman, Megramis is Ksheira. This type of Megramis is okay. Amr Lisi says it's not a contradiction. Each town has its own flow, its own local practices. Nahara, Nahara. River by river, Upashte and its flow. So each place has its own minute. Now comes a chiddush. Up until now we spoke about Shchita in Zone A, Zone B. What about Zone C, up on top on the helmet? Rab Shimon ben Lakish Achshar, he allowed B'chuda de Kaiva, a Shchita that cut through the tip of the helmet, all the way on top. Rabbi Yechon wasn't very happy. Currently he applied to him. He called out, Rabbi Yechon called out, Gisa, Gisa. He says, like, God, fat, too big, you've gone too far. That's beyond the range. As we're going to learn later, it has to be at least on the lower part of that helmet. Mishipa koiva lamata, the wide part downward, not upward. Amra papa mishmei derav. Here's another directive regarding location. Paga b'chiti treifa. So chiti are these little granules, like little grains of wheat, that are embedded inside the kana, which part? Zone C, the helmet area. It's around where it starts widening. So it's like sort of in the middle of that helmet, which starts getting narrow. So it's like sort of in the middle, the wide part where it starts getting, that's where the chiti are. So he cuts through and he hits the chiti, it's too far gone, it's too far up, that's treif. Now he said pug, what does pug mean? He actually cut through them, or he just veered very close to them without actually attacking them? Iboilu paga v'nagaben, doesn't mean that he actually cut through them. The chesiv, as we find, vayivka b'vayamayis, vayivka means he actually attacked him. Oidilma or paga means v'loy naga. He went very close, he encountered it, but didn't actually touch or cut through it. The chesiv, we find vayakub avino, vayivka b'machal akim, that they came and they encountered him, and they met him, but they didn't actually, you know, assault him, chas v'shalom. So we're not really sure. Itmar mish amra papa mishmei de rava. So another quote in the name of Rava, shir b'chutik shira. And if he cuts through the helmet and he leaves over a bit of those chiti, right? So above where he cut, there's still some chiti. So he didn't clear the chiti. He didn't go above the chiti, he cut through them, then it's still okay, you're still in the right area. Amar Rav Amemar, some take out the word Rav, Amar Amemar Bar Mar Yenuka, that was his name, Havakimna, I was standing Kamei in front of the Rav Chiyah by the Rav Avya, Amalini, he told me the same thing, Chshir B'chitei, Chshira. As long as he left some over. But if he clears them completely, goes above them, that's too far. Amarli Ravina l'Ravashi. Amarli, to me, he said, Rav Saman Misuvra. What happened? There was a story, Ikla Mar Zutra. Mar Zutra came last run to our town. V'darash, and he taught us, Sheir B'chitik Sheir, like we said before. Mar Ravashi Omar, Poga B'chitik Sheira, Sheir B'chitik Trefa, he's Machmer. If you cut till the chiti without actually going through, that's okay, that's low enough. But sheer b'chiti, once you go higher enough that you actually cut through the chiti, that's treifa. But the Gemara rules otherwise. Let's move on to the next. Amid v'hilchas, so what's the halacha l'maisa? Mishipui koyva l'mata k'sheira behind the sheer b'chiti. You can shecht in zone 3 into the helmet as long as it's mishipui koyva l'mata. So the helmet is called a kaiva, right, like a hat. Shipu is where it starts narrowing, coming to a point. If you're beneath that, you're okay. And that's exactly shir b'chiti, as long as you're in the chiti, not above the chiti. In fact, Rav Nachman also, achshar, he allowed mishipu kaiva l'mata. Amar li Rav Chana bar Rav Katina l'Rav Nachman. Who's your source? I mean, we had... In the Mishnah, we discussed zone B, right? The large tabas. Nobody seemed to allow zone 3 in the helmet. Come on, right? Who are you going like? Amalei Rav Chanan Barav Ketin L'Rach Kamal Lo'ik Rabbanon L'Rach Rav Yisr Yehuda. Not like the Rabbanon, who insists that you stay completely within the large ring, and not like Rav Yehuda, who says mostly, but certainly not out of it. Right? You have to be mostly within it, but if you're... above it, you know, but Amalei, he says, he used a vernacular expression, he says, I know, look, I don't know, by hook or by crook, loy chilik yadan, I don't know about chilik, loy bilik yadan, nor about bilik, it's an expression, meaning, I'm not sure, you know, where you're coming from, I know there's Rabbanon, I know, but, I have a different source, I know shmata yadan, I'm coming from a halacha of the Amoraim, the Beis HaMedrash, that's it. That allow shchita in this area. Dar Chia bar Abba Amar Biechan, Amar Lo Samse Amar Abba bar Zabda Amar Chanina, Amar Lo Samse Amar Yaakov bar Idi Amar Shema Levi. Mishipu Kayvel Mata Ksheira. Okay, so not only zone A, not only zone B, even zone C. Okay, so as long as you're Mishipu Kayvel Mata, that's the edge of the range, that's okay. V'Amar Shema Levi. He says like the interesting sort of equation. Megremes the Rabbanon ksheira l'Rabbeisa Yehuda. What the Rabbanon consider as megremes, as hagrama, as veering too far out, such as when you do shechita in zone B, but you veer out even a little bit, it's possible, it's megremes. That megremes is acceptable, according to Rabbeisa Yehuda. Because he says, look at the rife. It was mostly inside, it's okay. Next step. And what's considered hagrama, like according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, if you're out of zone B, right? He only allows if you're mostly within, but let's say you're out. With Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, guess what? Kshera is fully acceptable, perfectly kosher. The Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Right? If you look back, right? Recall, let's recall Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus back on the Fit Chesamet Beis, on the third, fourth line here. He was made al megremes shekshera. Right? The megremes that we're talking about, the Rabbanon's megremes. The megremes, the whole megremes that we're talking about. If you're out of zone B, which we consider hagrama, no, it's kosher. As long as you're in zone C, you're good. Says Mopshita, well, of course, you know, you just work this out step by step. There are three different zones, three different opinions, right? Says the Gemara, what's Rav Shmuel Levi presenting here? Ma'udatema, perhaps there's room for error. There's room to think that nobody allows zone C. And all the Rav Chanina ben Antignus testified that the Mugremis is kosher. Which Mugremis? Perhaps he's talking about the Rabbanon's more simple Mugremis. Rabbanon talking that he did a shechita in zone B and he veered out just a little bit. So despite the fact that it was mostly inside, it's from a gremis. So perhaps he was being matur less, like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, he go with the rife. Well, the Tamer Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus wasn't allowing up in Zone C. And Rabbanan Kai, he was merely going back to the Rabbanan. And there, Megremis, he says, it's okay. If you veer out a little bit, but if you're beyond, completely beyond, it's certainly no good. Kamash Malon comes up, Shimon Levi says, no. He didn't mean that. He meant even in Zone C, completely out of the large tabas, completely in the helmet. Ve'machinami, how do you know? Maybe the first way is better. Maybe, in fact, he was just allowing a partial veering, not completely out. In Cain, if that were the case, Heid Olemi Boile. You know, if you look back at his Lashon, he says like this, Heid, right? Al-Mugremes. Why do you say Al-Mugremes? We're talking about Mugremes. A second ago, we said Mugremes Psula, which is the Rabbanah's Mugremes. He veered out a little bit. He should have gone back on that. He says, he should say, Hey Dolesh, Iksherah, this is kosher. Why you start again? Hey, right? Until Al Mugremes, like starting fresh. He's talking about a different type of Mugremes. What it means to say is, but even if it's completely out of Zone B, which everybody considers Mugremes up until this point. No, I say it's kosher. As long as you're in Zone C, below the point, it's okay. M'kein hei dolemi boili. So we learn from there that according to Rechinu and Tignus, you can shech even in Zone C, as long as it's mishi pekoi velomata. And that's the halacha of Lechasek Rechinu and Tignus. Why do we pass him like that? Because Rav Nachman concurred with that. The koi, Rav Nachman, went along with this, because he passed him as well. You can do the shechita in Zone C, mishi pekoi velomata. Okay, so let's just quickly recap. We spoke about the requirement to have the chacham examine the sakin. If one fails to do so, it's a gross showing of disrespect, and he's penalized. To what extent? It depends on the severity of his behavior, whether the sakin turned out to be possible as well. We spoke about using a single shein as opposed to a cluster, which is like a bumpy knife, which is a puzzle. We spoke about using tzipurin. Detach is okay. Mechuberes, that's a puzzle according to Rebbe. You can't shecht with something which is mechuber. What are the magal kotzer? If you shecht the smooth way, according to Basil, it's okay. According to Bishamai, we're concerned. We don't want to get involved in this, so it's puzzle. And what is the outer range of shechita in the kana? So we spoke about Zone A, which is a small tabois, which according to Rav Shmuel, shechita has to take place between the tabois, but not on the tabois themselves. According to other shechitas, even tabois itself is okay. We have the Zone B, right, which is the tabas hagdol, which all agree is okay, because that's a full circle tabas, qualifies as kana. What if he veers out just a little bit? According to Rav, that's okay, because you go with the rave. According to Rabban, it's possible to be completely in the tabas. We have the yeshita regarding shechting above that in the kaiva. You pass on that you shecht mi kaiva mi shipu kaiva lamata. It's within range and it's kasha. All the best to you and atzlacha rabba.